Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is another blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. Once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, and doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, once again, wherever you listen to me at, I ask that you join in with me in prayer. Let us pray to Almighty God this day. Once again, Lord God, we come to acknowledge who you are, that you are Almighty God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah and the Redeemer of mankind. And Lord, we come, Lord Jesus, to acknowledge, Lord, that you are all-powerful, you are all-knowing, you are a possessor of all understanding, and your creative power is matchless. And Lord God, we thank you today, Lord Jesus, that we're able to petition you, and that through your spirit, you will supply us with the understanding that we need. So therefore, Lord, as we go forth on this broadcast today, every heart, every soul that listens and desire to know truth, feed them, Lord God, through your spirit. Every soul that thinks this a hoax or a game or something that I'm just playing with, reveal to them this day the truthfulness of this work. Lord, I ask that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name, to magnify you, dear God, and that all may know that you are the leader of this work. So, Lord God, I thank you. I praise you, and I glorify you, because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Once again, as I said before, this is another blessed Tuesday. To some of you who possibly are listening in other parts of the world, it may be Wednesday morning or Wednesday evening to others. But no matter what time of the day it is, I openly declare that it is a blessed day in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. Tonight we are on part two of this series, which is titled Third Witness, The Messenger to Prepare the Way. I have been going into the scriptures with you about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angelic being called the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist. And in this part of the series, we have been talking about in one of the messages, he was authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ to tell us that he is also the messenger to prepare the way. And during these series, I first of all gave you the witnesses from the Bible who witnessed that he is the messenger. The resurrected John the Baptist is the messenger to prepare the way. And I have been, after giving you a list of some witnesses from the Bible who was able to corroborate what the heavenly being, angel of the Lord, was authorized to say, I gave you witnesses who was able to corroborate his story that to let us know it is true. And now I had went back into the witnesses a little bit more deeper. Now I'm on the third witness who witnessed that John the Baptist, the resurrected John the Baptist, is the messenger to prepare the way. Amen. Glory be to God. He is prepared. Men are to go the road that leads to life eternal. Glory be to God. And the road that shows forth the new and living way in Christ Jesus. So tonight, we are still on the third witness, messenger to prepare the way. This is part two. And we had in part one of this section of the series, we have been looking at the third witness, who is Malachi. And I started going into Malachi with you, and we're going to take it up from there. Amen. As I had went into Malachi 3:1, so let us go back there to Malachi chapter 3:1. We're looking at the third witness tonight. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, and I want to read 1 again. And for those of you who was listening in the part one of this section of the series, I told you that on this third witness, I might be a little time on this third witness because of the things that Malachi has to say concerning who this angelic being is, the resurrected John the Baptist being the messenger, but also his work in being the messenger and dealing with restoration. And he takes it a little bit deeper in his communication and working with mankind. Amen. So Malachi chapter 3:1. And I want to say to those of you who are listening, listen, I know there's some of you that's listening. You may say, well, you just another one claiming they know this and they know that. And I can understand you saying it. But however, not at one time have you ever heard me say, you just accept it because I'm telling you. Each time I have given you the word and given you about this work of the Lord, constantly told you to take what you hear back to Jesus. So if you still want to, you know, ride on that, you just another person saying you know this and that, well, that's your privilege. But you cannot honestly say that I did not and have not been pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So for those of you that wants to know the truth, hey, I know that you're going to see God about what I tell you. To others of you that's listening and you can really care less about knowing the truth, I know that this is something that you will pass off to say, hey, this is just another person claiming they know this. And to be honest with you, I would be surprised if you would even listen to the broadcast even 5 minutes. Now, I'm not trying to be arrogant in what I'm saying. I'm just being truthful in what I'm telling you. Because it's time for us today to be truthful. And I'm not trying to say be truthful in being vulgar or low down, but being truthful in being that to do it the Lord's way. And too much is going on today among many believers. We have been hiding truths. We've been sweeping truths under the rug, you name it. We even been, quote, sugarcoating truth. I mean, the gospel, we didn't just about almost water it down, okay? Because we want to make it convenient for people, okay? And in doing so, we abstract the truth from the gospel. And when you start doing that, you start making up your own stuff, and then that is trouble, Houston, okay? So having said that, I'm going to read Malachi chapter 3:1 again and going to take off from where we last left off. Now, The word of God said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. Now, the last time I was talking to you and going into this verse here to show you that Malachi also witnessed that John the Baptist, the resurrected John the Baptist, is the messenger to prepare the way. And we come to understand the way we know this is because in Matthew 11 and 10, Jesus witnesses, confirms, and give revelation to the people that John the Baptist is the messenger to prepare the way. And we come to understand in him being the messenger here in this third chapter, we know that this prophetic word about him coming or being sent by the Lord is talking about this day and time, the end time, because in verse 5, the Lord said, I will come near to you to judgment. And therefore, we understand that when Christ first came, he did not come near to you in judgment. He came as the lamb, the sacrifice, coming to shed his blood to take away the sins of man. Amen. But now on his second coming that many of us in the body of Christ is preaching about, he is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back to judgment. In other words, the Bible tells us, Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonians, said that Jesus will come back in flaming fire with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we know that this Malachi 3:1 speaking, or this third chapter to the end time and the return of John the Baptist in these last days. Now, we also talked about what does it mean, not only that he being the messenger, understanding that here the word messenger let us know that he is an angel, which we have already established that in series before, that John did become an angel of the Lord. He was a resurrected, he became a resurrected being. He was in the very first resurrection that we read about in Matthew chapter 27. Then we come to understand about what does it mean that he shall prepare the way. He has come to what? To make ready the way, but he's also to return or turn back or bring back the way, which goes with the work of restoration that we know that is in his ministry because of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 and what Malachi said in Malachi chapter 4. So he is to bring back the way, and the way that leads to Christ, that leads to eternal life, to bring back the new and living way. Now, why is this? That many of you will ask the question. I thought it was delivered the first time. It was. But what happened was you have to go back to the falling away of the early church to understand why the angelic being, the resurrected John the Baptist, is coming again in this day and time to restore, to bring back, to restore all things, that all things also includes the way of God, okay? It's because during the fall away, the church became overthrown. Kingdom here on earth that was first set up and established by Christ was overthrown. Now, I know that it's hard for some people to compute that. I know some churches have laid claim that he wasn't overthrown. It continued with them, but they're not being truthful, okay? I know you have heard maybe the Roman Catholic Church have said that, no, the church that Christ established was never overthrown. It continued with us. Therefore, I know that's not to be true because you can look at many reasons why that's not true. Number one, Christ did not set up for anybody to worship Mary. Christ did not search up any doctrine of Christ to be carry out in idolatry. In fact, throughout the word of God, you will see that God speaks against idolatry. And if you're committing it, tells you to repent of idolatry. So therefore, why would he tell you that idolatry is evil and sinful and want you to repent if you're committing it and then turn around and make it a doctrine of Christ? Not happening and never have happened. Amen. So therefore, we come to understand what it means that he is to prepare the way. Now, the way, once again, okay, the way dealing with the route, okay, that we are to go, that mankind is to go. That's what the way is dealing with. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. The way, the word way here in Malachi 3 and 1 in the original Hebrew, because remember we are in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, we look under the Greek to see what the word way is dealing with, and it's dealing with a progress, the route, act, or distance, okay? That's what it is in the Greek, okay? Figuratively, it means a mode or means, okay? So it is the route that we are to go, and it's the road, it's the route, okay? Route of what? That leads to eternal life, okay? Because what? The church world that Christ set up got off the way, okay? Got out of the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, also the word way, this is why whenever you're dealing with witnesses from the Old and New Testament, to get a full scope of something, especially you dealing with the same word, you do need to look it up in the Greek and in the Hebrew. So the word way in this verse here, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The word way in the original Hebrew, under the word, is it denek, if I'm pronouncing it right, denek. Denek means a road as trodden. Figuratively, it means a course of life or mode of action. So here's to bring back the way of life. Okay? And we are told, as we looked at another part of the series, about the new and living way that was given unto us, okay? And that when we went through even the baptism, not just the water, but the spiritual baptism, we was raised to a newness of life. The church, the organization that Christ established on earth got out of the course of life. She got out of the way, okay? So John is to bring back the way. And how is he doing it? In proclaiming it. In giving the word of God. Because the word he's bringing for Jesus points to the way. Okay? Now, Bible for that? The Bible contains the word of God. But in series, many series before, we pointed out to you that the Bible does not contain all of the word of God. Okay? So this is why many of us think that the Bible is the only book, but it's not of God's word. Now, that doesn't mean that every book flying out there that claims God is of God. But if you look in series before, how can you know the messages are from God? I gave you steps on how you can determine whether something is from God or not. Amen? Now, having said that, we see that the way here is to prepare the way, okay? When it's being T-H-E, the way, it's the one most singled out, the highest of his class. In other words, man might come up with other ways they claim to go to eternal life or to reach Christ, but this is the way. This is the number one way, okay? And it's shown through the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're going to continue on in this first verse here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And once again, he is to deliver as the messenger to prepare the way. He is to deliver the way. Hallelujah. By giving the word which points all to the way which is Christ or to Christ, to point all unto what we read in Matthew chapter 7. Is entering in at the straight gate, for narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. Okay? Because why? Once again, you got to go back to the fallen way because the people of God got off the way. They got off the path. Now, we went through that some months ago, me and Brother Robert Gross, when he was living, and we talked about the fallen way. You get a chance, you can go back and look in the archives here on the episode And you can see what different titles we talk about under the falling away and what contribute to the falling away of the early church, okay? Amen. See, this is why we look like we look today in Christianity. That's why history, whether it is spiritual or secular, is important, okay? Because history reveals to you the now. It lets you know why things look like it does now, okay? And so many people think that history is not important. I wish that when I was in school, I would have took history more seriously. Now, I want you to understand, I made some good high grades in history, but it was kind of easy on a lot of our tests. But just because I made high grades like that doesn't mean I really took in depth the seriousness of the history, which I did. Maybe a little bit to some degree, but not like I should have. Because if I would have then what I think of and know now, I would have sought more things that I came across. I would have sought the history of it. You understand what I'm saying? So he said that he is to prepare the way before the Lord. This is what the messenger of the Lord is to do. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And he is delivering the message of the Lord, the message of the Lord that preached repentance, believing on Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we saw that, and we looked in the other series where the, I think it was under the second witness who was Mark. And we looked at how is it that he's going about to make ready the way by proclaiming it. He's what? He's preaching what? Repentance, baptism of repentance, and he preached on by believing on Jesus. We saw that in Acts chapter 19, okay? He's bringing the same message, people. He's bringing the same message. He ain't bringing a different message talking about, okay, you ain't got to believe Jesus no more, okay? Same message. He preached repentance then. He ain't changed on it. He ain't coming no change message on repentance. See, that's one of the ways you could tell with something or someone is of God, okay? For example, if one time that they saying God having them to go forth and preach repentance, and then if they being sent out again and they speak contrary to that message, it's something wrong, okay? It's something wrong. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in this first verse here, Lord said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, say the Lord of hosts. Now, we see in this verse here that he's the messenger of the covenant. In the original Hebrew, the word covenant, berith, means a compact because made by passing between pieces of flesh. It is a compact. What is a compact? A compact is an agreement between two or more parties, okay? So notice that he is called the messenger of the covenant. He is not called the covenant, okay? He's the messenger of the agreement between two parties, okay? Hallelujah. Well, who is the two parties? God, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and man, okay? He's the messenger of that covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. He's the messenger of that covenant. Well, let's look at something God said in dealing with a covenant here. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Now, look what the word of God says. I'm going to start at verse 15. It said, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. Verse 16 will be our key verse. And the word said, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, say the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So John, the resurrected John, is the messenger of the covenant that God said that he was going to put his law into the hearts of his people and write them in their minds. And he said, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's in the covenant. And John is the messenger of the covenant. He's the one to bring the message that is of the covenant that agreement between God and man. The agreement between God and those that accept him as Lord. Okay? Hallelujah. See, this is how you finalize that you agree with the covenant, is when you accept him as Lord. Amen. See, those who won't accept him as Lord, what I mean, they don't show that they agree with the covenant. But see, God laid this covenant out for those who will become his people, okay, who would accept him as Lord. And the messenger is the one to bring the message of the covenant, okay? Amen. We still, let's look at another verse here. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Now see, if the angelic being of the Lord brings any message that contradicts what we just last looked at in Hebrews 10 about God said, I will put my my law in their hearts and write on their mind. If he bring any message that contradicts that covenant, then he's not a messenger of the Lord. You understand that? Anything, any message he brings that shows it contradicts that covenant that God has spoke through his spirit, he's not a messenger of the Lord. Now, Romans chapter 11, verse 26 and 27 says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion, also known as Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. You see how this go with Romans, Hebrews 10 and 16? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is in the covenant. So if any angelic being brings a message that contradicts the covenant that God has spoken here, then this angelic being would not be of God. He would not be of God, people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And see, he is to bring back the covenant. Because why? Because the people, once again, during the falling away, got away from the covenant. Turned away from God. Hallelujah. And he is to bring back the covenant to revive in the faith the hearts of the people in the covenant. Okay? You get what I'm saying? That's why there has to be a restoring of the people in the faith. In the faith of what? Remember what he said in Romans chapter 9. We talked about the return the hearts of the fathers to the children. And we told you that one of the meanings of the word fathers is the house of Israel. To where in Romans 9 and 4 it said, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants. Okay? You get that? And the covenants. There has to be revival of the faith in the covenant of God. This covenant that he made with the people. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, this covenant has to be brought back. Hallelujah. Has to be restored, okay? Amen. Brought back before the people to, and their faith that has to be revived in the covenant of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because we fell out of the way, people. Amen. Because we fell out of the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. And the word of God says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, remember, we read in Malachi 3 and 1 that the resurrected John the Baptist is the messenger of the covenant. It didn't say he was the covenant, okay? Now, the overall covenant, overall, is Christ, because, remember, he is the mediator between who? God and man. He is the go-between, okay? Hallelujah. He's the agreement between God and man that if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you can be saved, okay? That's why when you hear people talking about, I don't have to accept Jesus, but I can worship God, it's not going to happen. You cannot reject the only begotten of the Father, the Word that made flesh, and think that you're going to go on and be with God. That's not going to happen. Because Jesus is the mediator. He is the go-between. He is the reconciler. He is the one that reconciled God with man and man back to God. He's the one that did that. Not Elijah Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, okay? Not Mary Baker Eddy, okay? None of them. Not Joseph Smith, okay? None of them. Not the one that's they highly regard in Freemasonry, Albert Pike, not him, but Jesus. Okay? So he is this angel messenger is to speak once again of the covenant and remind again the people of the covenant and revive their faith in the covenant. In Jesus Christ, number one, and in the words that he has spoken, because he said, this what I do, I put my law in their hearts, I will write it on their minds, put my spirit in them. And here's the thing, the church in the falling away, the vast majority fell away from the faith in the word of God, fell away from it. And therefore, she became disorganized. Amen. Now, we'll be doing a little bit turning back and forth here. Now, let's look at Malachi 3 and 1 again. Oh, yeah, we're finna exercise these fingers and these eyes, okay? That's what we finna do. Exercise these fingers and these eyes. Hallelujah. And so you got some well-known believers that say, hey, we don't need all this. It's been set up, established the first time. Well, once again, your falling away came in. So Jesus, and see, the Lord Jesus knew. This is why he was talking about the restoring of all things, people, before even the falling away happened. That's why he said the Elijah to come and restore all things. He knew. Before he actually set his feet again back on this earth, he knew what was going to happen, okay? He knew it. So he talks about a restoring even before he went to the cross the first time. In Matthew 17, Jesus hadn't been to the cross. He hadn't been to the cross. And so, therefore, he had to set up and establish the first time. He knew what's going to happen before he even went the first time. Glory to God. To the cross, before he went to the cross, he knew what was going to happen. Now, Malachi 3 and 1, once again, he said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. Now, another thing I want to look at in this verse
is when Jesus says, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly, do you see it? Suddenly come to his temple, okay? Hallelujah. Now, the word temple here, and I want you to understand, it carries a twofold meaning, okay? A twofold meaning. Let's look at the first one. Now, a temple here can mean literally a literal building. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. And I'm going to read verses 8 to 10, Zechariah chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. Okay. And the word of God says, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. Now, this is dealing with here a literal building, a temple that is to be built in the last days. Okay? So when Malachi said, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, number one, there is a literal temple building of the Lord that God will have to be built in these last days. In fact, in verse 10, we see here in Zechariah, he said, for before these days, there was no hire for man nor any hire for beasts, which means it's going to be built in trying times, very trying times. And some of y'all said, well, we're going through trying times now. Yeah, we are, but when it get to a point where you see here where it said there's no hire for man nor any hire for beast, you know it's a slow time. So we think we're seeing a trying time. We're seeing some, but it's going to get more intense, people. But guess what? According to the word right here, this temple of the Lord is to be built during that time. Amazing, ain't it? And so this is the temple. This is what God, Jesus, is coming back to. He's going to come back to this temple that he's going to have built in these last days during the troublesome time. You know what? That's also another prophetic or giving of a word of the word there. Because we think that sometimes in testing times, we act like God can't work, that he can't do anything. And I'm here to let you know, some of y'all are going to see this. Some of y'all are going through some testing right now. But you're still going to see the movement of God in your test. You're going to see, because see, some of you thinking that, man, it's so rough right now, I just can't see God doing anything. Well, like Gomer Powell used to say, surprise, 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 because he's going to do it. Amen? God is going to move during this time when you think he's not going to, that nothing good can be coming forth with the stuff that you're seeing. God is going to show his hand. And see, this temple is going to be built during troublesome times. It's going to be built during the time that maybe even some of God's own people are going to start thinking, man, it's so rough out here. This, you know, I just can't see nothing good being worked on and done at this time. Going to be surprised. Going to be surprised. So that temple, in one sense he's talking about, is the literal building to be built, the temple of the Lord. Amen? Now, let's look at Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. Because see, this temple right here, as we see in the word of God, is to be built in the, what, last days, what we're living in right now. So people, we think we're seeing some rough time now. It's going to be some more intense times ahead. Now, you ain't got to believe what Brother Nate telling you. That's your choosing.
But it ain't going to stop the word of God from being the word of God, people. So I don't care. You know, you if you say, hey, you, ain't nothing going to happen. Because right now we're preaching rapture so hard, and we're telling people that any day we can be gone. So for some of you to hear me even say that a temple of the Lord is going to be built during troublesome time, that time where it gets so rough that there's no higher wage for man or beast, you're saying to yourself, huh, I'm glad I ain't got to worry about it because I can be gone any day. I wish that was true. I really wish that was true. But I'm here to tell you that ain't true. We've gotten this be caught up to the clouds thing out of timing. Yes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 said, yes, it does. But it did not tell you that it's to be before any great tribulation or through any time, intense trying time that Zechariah was talking about here. It didn't say that. Because, see, what the problem is, we want to escape goats. We want to escape goats. And we fail to understand that God is not a biased God. Look at the early church. Look at what the real believers of the early church went through. Heads was cut off. Limbs were snatched off their body, okay? Thrown in the rings where animals can kill them. Boiled alive. You name it, okay? And look what they went through. So why is it? And that was during, quote, the great tribulation time in their day, okay? So why would Almighty God, who's supposed to be a loving, true, fair, and just God, would allow his people in the time of the early church to go through such a tough and horrendous and testing thing, but us today in the latter church, we get a free pass of any day now we can be gone? That don't sound like a fair God to me. And that ain't no fair God. But I know the Lord Jesus Christ, he is just. So therefore, no way. Now, Haggai chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse 6 and go to verse 9. Look what he said. Yet, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, say the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, say the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, say the Lord of hosts. So this latter house he's talking about once again is this temple of the Lord to be built when? In the last days. How do we know? He said, I will shake all nations and the desire of all nations, those that are true now. The desire of all nations being Christ, those that are true. He is the desire of that nation. See, he ain't the desire of everybody now, okay? But those that accept and believe in him say, hey, he's the desire of it. Out of the nations, what? Shall come. Christ shall return, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Even through it's going to be greater than the temple of Solomon. Okay? Hallelujah. So this temple, that Malachi 3:1, where he's talking about the Lord, whom you see shall suddenly come to his temple. Amen. It's talking about the temple of the Lord in the last days, okay? Amen. That's why he tells us what in the New Testament, he said, be ye also ready, and he talks to us about when the Son of Man shall suddenly come, okay? Well, what's that point to? That's point to Christ's second coming. So this is why he said in Malachi 3, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly. Well, see, we know the suddenly one wasn't referring to the first time that Christ came. He came in the flesh. So the suddenly has to refer to what? The second coming. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, the second meaning of the word temple, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. First let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look what the word of God says here. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Now, wait a minute before we go any further. Who is he talking to? Well, he was talking to the Christians at Corinth. So he's talking to Christians. So he said, know ye not ye are what? The temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So when he said that, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, temple also deal with Christ what? Coming to his people. Those that have what? The Spirit of God dwelling in them. Which referred to what? His second coming. Because he said in Thessalonians he was coming back to be what? A mind in the saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But that point to the end time. Okay? That's why we know that Malachi chapter 3 is pointing to the end time. This ain't talking about the first coming. Okay? It's talking about the end time. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So the messenger that he's sending to prepare the way before him is to come in the end time. Before Christ come back, people who is known also as the temple of God, they got the Spirit of God dwelling in them, and to the literal building temple that is to be built in these last days. Now let's look at another verse here, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to verse 21, verse 21 being the key verse. And it says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to verse 21. The word of God says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. First of all, once again, who is he talking to? He's talking to Christians. Because he was talking to the Christians here at Ephesus, okay? He ain't talking to sinners, okay? He's talking to Christians. Number 20, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grow unto a holy what? Temple in the Lord. You get that? Talking about these people growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Amen. So temple, we just looked at it having two symbolic meanings. That's a literal building that is to be built in these last days that Christ is coming back to, where he said the glory of that latter house is going to be greater than the former. Okay. Then the temple also means his people. That he's coming back to those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Those whom he said will grow unto a holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go back to Malachi. Go to glory. Let's go back to Malachi chapter 3 once again. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to look at something else in this verse 1. Very important what he says. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 again. Okay. And the word of God says this. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, say the Lord of hosts. Now, when I was studying this scripture here, one of the things that the Lord dealt with me about in this verse right here, hallelujah, glory to God, he dealt with me in this verse by telling me who is going to hear and receive concerning this work of the Lord through his angelic being, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah. He let me know in this verse, he said, I let you know who's going to receive it. Okay. In that verse, the word says, and the Lord whom ye seek. Okay. Hallelujah. Message of the covenant whom ye delight in. Okay. And that's key. So you said, well, Brother Nate, what are you saying that he, quote, told you that he was saying who's going to receive his work? They who are really seekers of the Lord is going to hear this work about him sending his angelic being, and they're going to follow through. Amen. Now, you know, some of you may look at it and get it and say, well, what you trying to say about me? I'm telling you, this is what I know from the Word of God. If you are a true seeker of Christ, see, everybody that claims to be a Christian ain't a true seeker. I don't care who you are. You gotta, and see, this thing is going to show the truth from the false also. Everybody that's claiming to be a Christian is not a true seeker of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true seekers is going to hear this message that we're giving. Oh, yeah. The true seekers are. So if you're not a true seeker, no, you ain't going to hear this message. I'm just letting to you plain and simple. Okay? But if you are a true seeker of Christ, then when this message is delivered, so you're going to hear this message. But anyone that's not a true seeker, no, they're not going to hear it. Amen. Because when you come across someone that's a true seeker, they are in a position to receive more of the deeper things of God. Give you an example that someone you can relate to. And I'm talking about of a true revelation. I ain't talking about you making up any kind of stuff. Have you ever been revealed something to you by the Lord, because something concerning the scripture or concerning a deepness of the work of God? And have you ever tried to talk to a supposed to be Christian that you know, for example, that hardly or don't get in the Word? Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to share some type of revelation with them? Well, have you noticed how they act? Some of them, you know, you trying to share a revelation God give, you know, it's just like you can look at it like it just went over their head. Others, when you telling them, they looking all around like, you know, you could tell they ain't paying attention to what you're saying. And then you got some of them that will straight, hard up fight against you and would tell you straight up, man, there's not a God, there's the devil, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, some of the same folks that don't hardly get in the Word or don't get in the Word at all. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is why some Christians, when you have other Christians who are proclaiming, let's put it this way, unmasking the deep covers of evil, other Christians who not getting in the Word, you find they start fighting against that Christian. And you'd be like, wait a minute, we're probably brother and sister. Why are you speaking against me? Well, you shouldn't be saying it. You should be doing that. Wait a minute now. Come on. Because, see, you got some Christians, they don't want to know anything more. Some of them, they get in through the front door and they feel like, oh, that's good. That's good enough for me. And you try to encourage them to get in the Word and study, which you get a bunch of excuses. And sometimes a bunch of lies. Yeah, I studied last night, and you know good and well in your spirit, they ain't did nothing. See, once again, and I've said this before, this work of the Lord is a humble way. Everybody's not going to receive this. I already know it, as well as others who God has commissioned us to give this work out to tell the people and warn them about the work he's doing. I know everybody's not going to receive it. And I know different reasons why. One of them is this way of the Lord. That's why I keep saying way of the Lord, Jesus Christ. It is not a glamorous way to the world. Okay? And you got people in the church that look for glamour. Now you come glamorous, come in showing your material substance and rich in $500 suits and with the caps with the feathers sticking out, okay, or the glittering diamonds and all that stuff on you. Hey, you got people for miles want to hear you. Yeah, you ever notice in these days how the, quote, churches are going? Okay?
If you're not somebody as a Christian leader who is well known, a lot of these people don't want to hear you. See, a lot of people won't hear the Christian that comes with the jeans and a regular shirt on, the Christian that dress pleasant. They don't want to hear that. They want to see, they will listen to, quote, the Christian that dresses decked out. Y'all remember that term? Especially back from the day, oh, he decked out. Well, they're listening, that's, quote, supposed to be Christian. So if you decked out, oh, man, you can say whatever, okay? You probably can say Jesus rode three goats and a mule at the same time. And they go, oh, really? Oh, praise to God, you know. Now, some of y'all think I'm being far-fetched. I'm not. Some of y'all know I'm not, because that's where supposed to be people who believe in God, that's the way they're flowing. So you have to show some type of extravagance. You have to show some type of glamour with many people in these days to, quote, attract them. If you come in just a plain average Joe, as they say, preach other word, but you come in just in a regular blue jeans and a shirt, you know, just regular. Well, they look at you and like, well, yeah, he did give a good message. But somebody they know that is supposed to be a preacher, got the is a world-known author, sold a million books and have an entourage and this kind of cause all day, they'll hear you all day long. Because if you ever notice now, the spirit of being a celebrity has crept in among the people of God. So now you see certain big-time televangelists, they're being treated like celebrities. Now, where do you see that in the Word of God? Anybody seen it? Anybody, if you do see it, please call in or, you know, and let me know where you find in the Scripture that we are to be celebrities. That's what we have turned into, people, celebrities. You got so-called ministers got bodyguards. For what? What you got bodyguards for? They got bodyguards. We went to one of these ministers' conference back in 2005. And he was up there speaking, and you could see, like, the folks down there were just guarding. Okay? And my thing is that, what you know, it's like wherever, and some of these big-time televangelists, wherever they go, you see they have their, quote, bodyguards. Well, what you doing with some bodyguards? What are they going to do? Wow. See, that's what it happened, people. That's what we have come to in this time. So Jesus, this way that he is having to be proclaimed into the ears of the people is a humble way. It is a way where you receive what the Lord has in humility, okay? Just like in these different positions people in. All these positions people in wasn't called of God. A lot of these positions people in they're there because of man. You know, in many of these churches, you know, some of them, if they see you come to church on time and be at every service, they'd be quick to tell you, say, you know what, I think you'll make a good deacon. Who told you to get in that place as a deacon? And now you got them making men deacons because they seen it come. Now, these same men could be a woman chaser, a drunkard, you name it. But because they come to church on time and be there every service Sunday, oh, yeah, and they give them money collection plate, we think you'll make a good deacon. I say it again, wow. That's what it come to, people. That's what it has come to. Amen. And it is sad, but I am grateful to see that Jesus is doing something in these last days about it. Because, people, you look at Christianity, we're going in the wrong direction.
You know, I want to say this as I get ready to close soon. Just like in gospel music, and this thing I'm about to say really pains my heart to where we're going and where we've been heading as Christianity in general as a whole, like in gospel music. There has come into gospel music in the last past, I don't know, 5-6 years. And it ain't just 5-6 years, but I'm trying to make a point to this, what I'm going to say. I have seen some, not just good singers, I have seen some very anointed people. See, that's different between you being anointed and just can sing. You got some people can sing, okay? But even though they can sing, it doesn't carry no anointing. When you have people singing that carries the anointing, good Lord, you talking about something different. You can sense the flow of God. You either for the breakdown and cry or get moved, get healed or delivered or something. Okay. I have seen a few gospel singers who I seen and heard was really anointed. I mean, not just can sing, but sing with the anointing, can make anointed songs. And my heart has been pained lately because many of them that have been truly anointed coming to the way, I hate to say this, and I got to be honest, the gospel music industry starts to corrupt them. Yeah, I've seen it. Just like with some of the women that came in anointed, the first thing you're going to begin to notice about them, I have seen some of them come in just dressed, just plain, but very anointed. One of the first things, not the only thing, but one of the first things I noticed about them, where I see they've been gotten to, as you want to use this term, is that they start dressing inappropriately. They showing breasts. They wearing the tightest stuff, you name it. That's one of the first things. And the other thing is they start incorporating other worldly stuff into their music or into their gospel videos. The same thing has gone with some anointed men that have come into this work. I start seeing them. They start, all of a sudden, the gospel music world, get this, I ain't talking about the secular music world. Secular music world, we know not to get in that. But I'm talking about the gospel music world. We're supposed to be displaying the word of God in music has started corrupting some true anointed singers. And I start to notice about them. And one of the first things, not the only thing, once again, but one of the first things I notice about them, they start dressing inappropriately. They start dressing worldly and what you call it, going to the club dressing. Okay? And then in their music, they started incorporate a lot of worldly type tunes. Even the way they sing and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God. And it just grieves my heart. It do. Because it almost makes you want to tell them when they first come in, hey, go around singing for Jesus. Do not join the gospel music scene. I remember back in the year, I think that was 2000, I was heading to that point to go into the gospel music scene. Now I can see why God in one sense did not let me go that way. I can see that. Because you even got some gospel singers who have been in that music industry for a while. They starting to tell you how corrupt it is. You look at Ty Tribbett. If y'all ever see that video on Ty Tribbett where he started talking and he's talking about how he didn't name who the day was in the gospel music industry. But he said they wanted him to do some stuff that was ungodly. Okay? Amen. Now, some of y'all who got your eyes closed to this, your mouth might have flew open. What? Yes. Yes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again for this day, you have blessed us to see and to go into the word. And Father, I pray that I have deliver your message in the way that will be pleasing in your sight. Bless everyone that is seeking you, Lord, this day. And Lord God, unveil to them this word of truth. So Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, and praise you and give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So I thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, Lord, say the same. Part 3, Third Witness, Messenger to Prepare the Way, Part 3. Tomorrow night, look for the advertisement then. Glory be to God. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.